word mois. Not to say the word mois. Acharei kedoshim. Acharei mois kedoshim. I believe we mentioned this last year. This is the only time of the year that you read two double parashas in a row. There's no other double parashas twice, one after the other, like you have now in the month of Iyar. Iyar, as we mentioned earlier, was created with the letter Vav. Vav is the letter that is associated with unity. It's the letter that connects one word to another. Double parashas are symbolic of unity. This is a month that we have to stress the unity of the Jewish people, because in this month, we suffer the loss of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva who lacked in the achdus on their level. Therefore, the tikkun, the rectification for that which the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva lacked in, is what we have to work on during the days of Sfira, and that's why we always read the parasha of Kedoshim in the days of Sfira, where we have the pasuk V'yahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha, Ani Hashem, and Rashi quotes Amar Rabbi Akiva Zeh Klal Gadol B'Torah, which we always read during this time, especially this Shabbos. This Shabbos is the midpoint of the Sfira. Any odd number is going to have a midpoint. An even number doesn't. You have two in the middle. But an odd number has a midpoint, the middle number, where you have the same amount of numbers before and the same amount of numbers after. 49, which is how many days we count, the midpoint is the 25th day. You got 24 days before, you got 24 days after. This Shabbos is the 25th day of the Sfira, which the 25th day of the Sfira is Yud Iyar. Yud Iyar is mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and at the end of Hilchos Tainis, the day that Eli, the day that his two sons were killed in the battle with the Pelishtim, Eli, when he heard the news, and then when he heard that the Aron was taken into captivity, and the Mishkan of Shilai, which lasted the longest of all the Mishkanos, 369 years, was destroyed, Eli falls off his chair and dies. And it was a sad day, and by many tzaddikim used to fast on Yud Iyar. It's one of the days that are mentioned in the last halachas of Hilchos Tainis as a day of fasting. Of course, this year we don't. It's Shabbos, although we are in the midst now of Bahab, those who have the custom to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday after Rosh Chodesh. But there is perhaps a little more of a deeper understanding of what exactly Yud Iyar is about, this coming Shabbos. Yud Iyar, the midpoint of the Sfira. The midpoint of the Sfira is in the fourth week, and it's the fourth day of the fourth week. The fourth day of the fourth week, for those who know about the Sfiras, there are seven Sfirois, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus, which we say in davening. It's not just the Kabbalistic terms, it's the fourth week of Sfira corresponds to the fourth Sfira of the seven Sfiras, which what we're supposed to be working on in the fourth week, is Netzach. Gedula, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach. Netzach, Shebe Netzach. And it was this Shabbos is the fourth day of the fourth week, so it's Netzach in Netzach. And this you find throughout the Sfira. There's one day always of all the 7 weeks that is within the other. Like you have the first day is Chesed Sheba Chesed. Those who say the Rabbeinu Shlalom after Sfira know what we're talking about. And even if not, the concept is not a difficult one. Chesed Sheba Chesed is the first day of Sfira. It's the first day of the first week, which is the week of Chesed. Chesed is the first Midah that we work on in the 7 weeks of Sfira. Then you have Gevura Sheba Gevura, which is the second day of the second week. You have Tiferes Sheba Tiferes, which is the third day of the third week. Netzach Sheba Netzach is this coming Shabbos. Next week, Sunday, is of course Lag BaOmer, is Hoid Sheba Hoid, which is the fifth day of the fifth week. We'll leave that for next week. And then there's the sixth day of the sixth week, which is Yesod Sheba Yesod, and of course the last day of Sfira, Malchus Sheba Malchus. And these are all, every day of the Sfira is unique, but these days, certainly. Now, this Shabbos being the midpoint of the Sfira, Netzach Sheba Netzach, what do we learn from it? What are we supposed to do about it? Now, these two parashiyos, Acharei Kedoshim, are read in the days of Sfira, in the month of Iyar, when it's not a leap year. And the truth is, if one looks at the name Acharei in the first pasuk, and Kedoshim seem to be actually a contradiction, because Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu what to tell Aaron, so that Aaron shouldn't make the same mistake that his two sons did. Acharei mois shnei b'nei Aharon. What was their mistake? Because vasam l'fnei Hashem v'yamusu, as the Arachaim explains, their mistake was they wanted to get too close. What they really wanted to do was they wanted to totally separate themselves from this world, have nothing to do with this world at all. as we know, one of the reasons that they were punished was so they did not get married. Why didn't they get married? Not because they couldn't find a shidduch, or the dating didn't go well. They didn't want to get married. They weren't interested in getting married. They didn't want to have anything to do with this world. Total prisha, which is how they viewed the concept of kedusha. Kedusha is prisha completely. They were wrong. They were nifta. They pass away, and this parsha begins as a warning.
Maybe they got what they wanted.
They could have got what they wanted, but that's not what Hashem wants from us, as we'll see in a moment. They were great tzaddikim.
They were
the Bnei Yisrael wanted to stay in the Midbar too. And they ended up getting what they wanted too. They ended up staying for the next 38 years. Doesn't mean that they were being rewarded. But the emphasis is not even after you are great tzaddikim. What they wanted was a very lofty thing. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want us to kill ourselves. As we'll see by Matan Torah, which is the concept of Hagbola, that we were told not to go on the mountain, and because there were many who wanted to go on the mountain, and would have if they would have been allowed. And even if they would have died, they didn't care. They just wanted to die al-Kiddush Hashem. That's the way you get close to Hashem. You go into the next world. That's what they wanted to do. But that's not what Hashem wants of us. When we're in this world, there has to be prisha, but to a point. At the same time that there is prisha, one has to also be ma'urav in this world, which is what Hashem is telling Moshe to tell Aaron not to make the same mistake. And when he wants to enter the Kiddush HaKadoshim, it has to be done with specific karbanos under certain conditions, once a year on Yom Kippur, which is what Acharei begins with. So Acharei Mois actually is the parasha that begins telling us that Kedusha has to be with a limit. And Kedusha doesn't mean total separation. Now the name Kedoshim, which is the name of the next parasha, seems to indicate that we are supposed to be separated. Kedoshim Tehiyu. Prushim Tehiyu, Rashi says. Now that seems to be a contradiction. How do we reconcile the contradiction between Acharei and Kedoshim? We also find that this parasha is a takeoff of the previous parasha. The previous parasha was the parasha that spoke about the lowest Jew, the Metzora, the Jew that was expulcated from Machane Yisrael, the Jew that is not allowed to live in Yerushalayim, the Jew that is in solitary confinement because of his gossiping, because of his gassas or ruach, as we mentioned last week, his arrogance, his gaiva. Bodod yeshev michutz l'machane moshavoy. And yet, this parasha we speak about, the Kohen Gadol, the holiest Jew, the one who's supposed to be the holiest Jew, Aaron HaKohen, and future Kohanim Gedolim, as the Pasuk talks about, that just as Aaron is allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim under certain conditions, so too, the future Kohanim Gedolim also may enter if they follow what it says in this week's parasha, and the Torah talks to us about the future Kohanim Gedolim. The Torah should put two parshiyos together. Last week we speak about the lowest Jew, and this week we speak about the holiest Jew. And we put the two together. The Kohen Gadol also sort of enters solitary confinement, but this is really a reward for the Kohen Gadol. This is a private audience that he has with Hashem, where no one else is allowed to be. V'chol adam lo yihia ba'ayel moyeh b'chata ba'kodesh atzeisai, the Pasuk tells us. No one is allowed to be, not even in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but even in the immediate vicinity, and even back, like Ben Ha'ulam v'la Mizbeach, no one is allowed to be anywhere near where the Kohen Gadol is when he is going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And not only people, but as the Yerushalmi and Yuma says, V'chol adam lo yihia ba'ayel moyeh afilu malachim sh'aleihem nema u'pneihem kipnei adam. Even those of whom it says in the Navi Yecheskel that they have similar faces to humans, Malachim, we're also not allowed to be there. And here was an interesting contrast. The Metzora has to leave the Machane Yisrael. He has to go out of Yerushalayim. Bodod, he is alone in solitary confinement. No one's allowed to be with him. It's a punishment. The Kohen Gadol goes to the point where no one else is allowed to go. The holiest spot on earth, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, once a year. According to some who explain the Torah's Kohanim, that Aaron was allowed to go anytime he wanted, not just on Yom Kippur. It was the future Kohanim Gedolim that only can go on Yom Kippur. Aaron can go anytime if he follows the order of these karbanos. Bezois Yavai Aaron al HaKodesh, Befar Ben Bakal HaChatos, was anytime he wants. In the future, the Kohen Gadol could only go on Yom Kippur. That's why the Torah does not mention Yom Kippur until later, after we go through all the procedures, which is very strange. The Torah should just, like it does in all the other parishes, the Torah tells us first what the Yom Tov is, what day it is, and then what you have to do. Here it says first what you have to do, and then later it says what day it is. And then he said the reason is because the first part of the parish is talking to Aaron. Aaron was not given a limitation. He's allowed to go any time, but only if he follows these rules. The Kohanim Gedolim in the future could only go on Yom Kippur. Nevertheless, Aaron HaKohen and all Kohanim Gedolim also go alone into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But obviously it's a totally different kind of solitary confinement as of the Metzora. The Metzora is going where where he is being punished for what he did as a result of his gossiping, as a result of his being a divisive person. The Kohen Gadol was the symbol of the Oyev Shalom and the Roidev Shalom, the opposite of the Mitzayr. The Aaron had any Talmid of Shal Aaron. The Kohen Gadol, the Kohen HaMashiach, we call him, he's Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, has the privilege to have the private audience with Hashem where no one else can be. And he wears white clothes. He wears what the Pasuk calls bad. Ksainas bad kodesh yilbash u'michnasei bad. Why was it called bad? Bad is linen. The Gemara says in Zvachim, the reason why it's called bad, because it's oila bad bebad. It comes out of the ground one at a time, different than other plants. Whatever that means. But that's what the Gemara says, bad bebad. Very similar to the word badod, which you see by the Mitzayr, badod, alone. The Kohen Gadol wears linen, bad bebad, goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim alone, but it's a total contrast of what the Mitzayra is all about. And the fact that the Torah puts the two together is because the Torah is telling us that a Mitzayra can become a Kohen Gadol, even if he's not a Kohen, meaning the Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol, the Mitzayra who was so vite, the Mitzayra who's so far, who has to go through what a Golus, he has to leave Yerushalayim, Badad Yeshev, can also reach the heights of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but also experience the greatest levels of Kedusha. And in fact, we see this, what the Torah tells us in last week's parasha, that the Mitzayra, the day he is purified, when he did Shuvah, and he's allowed to return to Yerushalayim, the Pasuk says he has to go through the procedure with the Shtei Tziporim, and then it says afterwards that oil is poured on his head. Oil. The same procedure that is done to the Kohen Gadol. The Pasuk says, the oil is put on the head of the mitaher, which is the kohen, which is the mitzayra, and a kohen gadol becomes a kohen by having oil poured on his head. So here we have the lowest Jew is going through a similar procedure to that of the kohen gadol. Although these are two different ends of the spectrum here, the Mitzayra and the Kohen Gadol. The Torah puts the two parashas together, and we read this in the Yemei HaSfira to teach us how far we can be misakin ourselves, and we can rectify even one who has stooped so low and has become a Mitzayra. Immediately goes into parashas Achrim, is learning about the Kohen Gadol entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mitzayra can reach those levels as well, and that's what's required of us during the days of Sfira as we are preparing for Matan Torah, where Hashem designates us as the Goy Kadosh, as the holy nation. What's required of us is Kedusha. But Acharei Kedoshim tells us that Kedusha doesn't mean total separation. Separation, yes, a person shouldn't indulge, a person shouldn't be running after the pleasures of this world 100%, and that's what Kedusha is, and certain things we do have to separate from totally. But at the same time, we do have to eat and drink and deal with the physical world and elevate it. And that's the Acharei Kedoshim together. Kedoshim would mean holy, separate completely. Acharei says, no, look what happened to Nadav and Avihu. Not completely. And that's what we see by Matan Torah. There were two mitzvahs that were given to Klal Yisrael, Hagbola and Prisha. They were told to separate, yes, Prisha. And they thought, if that's the case, we're supposed to separate from our wives, supposed to separate from anything physical, then let's go on the mountain and let's just join Hashem in the next world, which was what Nadav and Avihu did. That's what all the Jews said. Let's do that. We have to be purged from this world. Let's have nothing to do with this world. Came the next mitzvah, Hagbola. Wait. Set a boundary around the mountain. No one is allowed to go on top of the mountain. Only Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the top. Only he can handle it. No one else can go. We're not allowed to go. You know, these two have to go together. It has to be Hagbola and preach at the same time. You have to separate, but you have to be in the world and separate at the same time. As my foyer, who spoke here, Yom Tov, beautifully, mentioned from the Kotzka, I believe it was, Shlomo HaMelech established, the Gemara says, Erevin and Netilas Yadayim. So he explained, Erevin comes from the word Erev, which means mix. Netilas Yadayim, you wash your hands. He says, a Jew has to, and he said it in Yiddish, Medavstich Mishin or Medavstich Vashin. That means you have to mix with the world, but at the same time, wash yourself from it. You have to be part of it, but at the same time, you have to separate from it. Which is what Acharei Kedoshim teaches us. Just the name of these two parashiyos, what is expected of us during these days. We have to develop and work on Kedusha, but we have to understand what Kedusha means. Kedusha doesn't mean total separation. As we mentioned last time, after the first Seder, after the first night of Pesach, we reach the highest levels, as the Zohar says, Hashem brings us to the highest levels of Kedusha. He takes it away from us. And after he takes it away, that's when the Tumah sets in, and that's when a Jew has to count Sfira and work on these levels himself, and reach Chag HaShavua, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, because he worked on himself, not because he was brought there as we were on Pesach. On Pesach, Hashem brings us all to the highest levels. Shavuos comes after a lot of work, after going through the Yemei HaSfira. And perhaps that's also hinted in the word Acharei Mois, because Mois, the Zohar says, whenever it says Misa, it doesn't only mean death, Misa also means fall. When a person falls from his Madrega, that is considered that he died spiritually. A Metzaira is considered dead. Metzaira Chashav Kames, he fell. He fell spiritually, and even physically, he has to be removed from his home, and he has to leave Machane Yisrael, he has to leave Yerushalayim. Acharei Mois, after the Misa, after all of us have fallen, after we reach the highest levels, Pesach by night, Kedoshim, it's required of us now, is to work on the level of Kedusha, and to develop within ourselves that which is referred to as Mikdash. Mikdash is mentioned for the first time in this week's parasha, relating not to the Beis HaMikdash, but relating to each and every one of us as part of what Rashi, interestingly, calls Knesset Yisrael, a word that Rashi never uses, not in Chumash at least. You find it a lot in Sifrei Kabbalah, but not in Rashi. And that's when the Torah talks to us in Parashas Kedoshim about the Avodah Zarah known as Melech, those that used to give their children over to either to actually be burnt, or they were passed through columns of fire, different shittas in the Rishonim, exactly what Melech is. So the Pasuk says that one who is involved in this Avodah Zarah is considered to be such a terrible violator, not only of just Avodah Zarah, but this is the worst kind. The Hichrati Oisai Mikerev Amai, says Hashem, I'm going to wipe him off, I'm going to erase him from the Jewish people. Why? Ki Mizaroi Nosam Lamelech Lema'an Tamei Es Mikdashi. Because he contaminated my Mikdash. Who's talking about the Mikdash? We're talking about giving over your children to Melech. What does that do with the Beis HaMikdash? Rashi says Mikdash here doesn't mean Beis HaMikdash. Mikdash here means Knesset Yisrael Shehim Kudeshes Li. Klal Yisrael, referred to as Knesset Yisrael, that is designated as mine, and you take one of mine and you give it away to a different, sort of like baptism for Christianity. That would be like baptizing a Jew, Chas V'Shalom, giving him over to Melech, initiating him into another religion. So here we see the Torah refers to the Jewish people for the first time as Mikdash. Every one of us is a Mikdash. For Asuli Mikdash doesn't only mean we have to actually make a Bayis Kedosha, as Rashi explains to us in Parshas Truma, referring to a physical house. But Asuli Mikdash also means that every one of us has to become a Mikdash. V'shachanti b'soichom, in plural, b'soich kol echad v'echad, every one of us is a Mikdash. Now, what else is referred to as Mikdash? Besides the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim. The Rambam's shita is that when it says in Mishnayos Mikdash, it doesn't mean Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam says this in a few places. Shkolim, Rosh Hashanah, a few places. That there's Beis HaMikdash and then there's Mikdash. Beis HaMikdash is in the house that's in the Mikdash. What's the Mikdash? The Mikdash is Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the city where we enter when we are pure. We have to purify ourselves and then we are able to enter Yerushalayim. The Metzaira is not allowed in Yerushalayim, he goes out of Yerushalayim. The Metzaira goes to Damesek. Damesek is the same letters as Mikdash. Damesek is Damascus, Syria. Why do we mention Damesek? Because in Navi we read about this last week, about Gehazi and his three sons in the Haftarah, who were not allowed in Yerushalayim. So the Pasuk tells us in Melachim, they went to Damesek. And the Pasuk also tells us that Vayelech Elisha Damesek, Elisha went to Damesek, so Gemara asks in Sanhedrin, why did he go to Damesek for? Because he went to bring Gehazi back. He was trying to be Machsir Gehazi B'tshuva. There we see that the Mitzrayim went to Damesek. Damesek is the Le'umazeh of the Mikdash. Damesek is the Le'umazeh, the opposite of Mikdash of Yerushalayim. The Tumah in Damesek, parallel to the Kedusha that's in Yerushalayim. When one's in Damesek, he can't enter Yerushalayim. When we're in Yerushalayim, we're distant from Damesek. And it's interesting that the Medrash tells us that Yerushalayim is going to go all the way until Damesek when Mashiach will come. Share Yerushalayim says will spread till Damesek. It's in the Nusach that we say on Hoshana Rabbah, Simi ad Damesek Mishkan Isayach. Rashi brings it in Shir HaShirim on the words Tzoyfe Penei Damesek. He says two pshat. The one pshat he says is that from the towers of Shlomo HaMelech's palace you were able to see the houses in Damesek. That you could see Damesek from Yerushalayim. And then he says that Yerushalayim will one day go all the way till Damesek. The Kedusha will take over the Tumah, and Yerushalayim will spread till Damesek. And it's interesting, we find that Avraham Avinu ran, when he ran after the four kings, he ran till Damesek, the Pasuk says. That's where he met Eliezer, who came from Damascus, according to some opinions. So he ran till Damascus, and wherever Avram went, we know later became the future Eretz Yisrael. The fact that Avram ran all the way till Damascus is because Yerushalayim is going to go till Damascus in the future. And Avram did this when he was running after the four kings, which is symbolic of the four nations, that once we conquer the four nations, which is in the future when Mashiach comes, we conquer all the four nations, Yerushalayim goes until Damascus. So Yerushalayim is called Mikdash, and Yerushalayim is the city of Yira, the city of fear. The Gemara tells us in Brachas, Taf Nun Ches, Netzach is Yerushalayim. When we say the word Netzach, we are referring to Yerushalayim. Hoyd is the Beis HaMikdash. Teferis is Matan Torah. Netzach is Yerushalayim. Now, since we're beginning the week of Netzach tonight, that we're allowed to say, we're not supposed to count the Sphere if we didn't daven Ma'ariv, but we could still say that we are counting. No one will ever say that Yoytz the Sphere if I say tonight's Netzach. Most people don't know what it is anyway. But one can certainly say that tonight begins the Sphere of Netzach. The fourth week of Sphere begins. And in the fourth week, especially this Shabbos, which is Netzach Sheben Netzach, Netzach Sheben Netzach is Begematria B'Yerushalayim. Netzach is Yerushalayim, known as the Eternal City. Interesting that this year they're making a big deal about Yerushalayim. Not getting into that now, but it's certainly in the air, being the 40th year since the Six-Day War. So what does a Jew have to work on during the week of Netzach? Building Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, the Rambam says, is Mikdash. In this parasha, we're told that every one of us is Mikdash. L'mam tameh es Mikdashi, because every Jew has in him a spark of Yerushalayim. All of us were born in Yerushalayim. Pasuk in Pei Zayin of Tehillim. Ish ve'ish yulad ba. Al-Kenye Omer b'tzioin. Ish ve'ish yulad ba v'hu yechayim en ha'elyon. Every Jew is born in Yerushalayim. Even if it doesn't mean physically, we're all b'nei Yerushalayim. We are all Yerushalayim Yidden. We're all connected to Yerushalayim. We're all concerned about Yerushalayim. We all face Yerushalayim. We're connected to that city. That's where we're rooted from. That's where we all go. That's the place that B'nai Yisrael went three times a year. So during these weeks, especially in the month of Iyar, we are working on building Yerushalayim, which Yerushalayim is the city of fear. Yerushalayim, complete fear, as Tosfos says in Tainus. It's the city where we go to develop Yerushalayim. We eat Ma'aseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. The pasuk says, "Why l'man tilmad liyira es Hashem aleikecha." When you go to Yerushalayim, you develop your yiras shamayim. And it's interesting that I don't know if there's any other parasha that talks so much about fear from Hashem like Parashas Kedoshim. Over and over again, v'yareisamei aleikecha, v'yareisamei aleikecha. What's really required of us during the days of Sfira is to work on yira, because the only way to develop levels of Kedusha, the only way Taka to be able to separate Prisha within the boundaries that we're allowed to be Poyresh is only if we have Yira. Without Yira, there cannot be Kedusha. Without Kedusha and Yira, we cannot enter Yerushalayim. A Mitzayra obviously is lacking in his Yira Shemayim. The Mitzayra lacks in his Yira Shemayim, and therefore he's kicked out of Yerushalayim. He can't enter Yerushalayim. The Sfarim tell us, Iyar is Rosh HaTevah. Iyar stands for Roitza Hashem Es Yireyov. And what's interesting, if you look at the next pasuk, right after that pasuk in Mizmor Kuf Mem Zayin of Tehillim, which we say every day in the Hallelukas, those of us who have time to say all the Hallelukas, Ki Toiv Zamra Elokeinu, so in that Mizmor we say, Roitza Hashem Es Yireyov Es HaMiyachlam L'chaste. What's the next pasuk? Shabachi Yerushalayim Es Hashem. Yira leads to Yerushalayim. Roitza Hashem es Yireyo v'sam yachlam l'chastoy. And when one has developed his Yira Shemayim properly, Shabachi Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim praises Hashem. Now Yerushalayim cannot praise Hashem the way it wants, because we're not there. Yerushalayim is the mother city, and its children are not there. Yerushalayim is the Akara. Yerushalayim is the barren woman that is waiting, the Almana, Hoysaka Almana, that is waiting for her Baal to return, is waiting for her children to re-enter her. Therefore, during the day, in the month of Iyar, the month of Roitza Hashem Es Yireyov, we work on building Yerushalayim. We work on building the Mikdash within each and every one of us, which Yerushalayim is referred to as Mikdash, especially the way the Rambam understands it. And once we build Yerushalayim, then we have the Beis HaMikdash. You need Mikdash before you have the Beis HaMikdash, which that level we reach on Shavuos. As the Pasuk says, Reishis Bikurei Admascha Tavi Beis Hashem Aleikecha. Shavuos is called Yom HaBikur, the day that we start bringing the first fruits. The first fruits are brought into the Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim, we reach the Beis HaMikdash. Shavuos, we reach the Beis HaMikdash. But in order to get to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to go through Yerushalayim. You have to go through Yerushalayim first. The Mikdash leads us to the Beis HaMikdash. The month of Iyar takes us to the month of Sivan. Yemei HaSfira take us to Shavuos. Sivan is in the month of Zevulun. Zevulun comes from the word Zevul, which means abode, which means dwelling place. What did Shlomo HaMelech say? When he built the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Bonai, Bonisi, Beis Zevul Loch. I built for you, Hashem, a Beis Zevul, a house that you can rest in. As Leah said when she gave birth to Zevulun, Hapam Yizbeleni Ishi. Now my husband will make his main dwelling place in my tent. And that doesn't only mean Yaakov, Ishi, my husband is Hashem. Hashem dwells among us. Vayeved Hashem al Hasinai, Hashem, the Shechina returned to earth after seven generations, as we know, because of the Chet Eitz Hadas and the Chatoim that followed, the Shechina left earth. Avraham Avinu brought it down from the seventh heaven to the sixth, Yitzchak to the fifth, and Moshe, the seventh generation, brought the Shechina back down to earth. When was that? By Matan Torah, Vayeved Hashem al Hasinai. Zevul, that's why Iyar is the month of Yisachar, the month of Avodah, as we mentioned last week, the month of toiling, the month of working. Yira is something one has to work on. One is not born with Yiras Shamayim. The Gemara says in Brachas, HaKoyo Bidei Shamayim Chutz Me Yiras Shamayim. Yiras Shamayim, you are not given as a gift. Yiras Shamayim is only something that you can develop on your own. You have to work on it. You have to learn the proper Svarim and think and contemplate and study the Bria, study Torah, all the different things that Chazal tell us, that the Svarim, the Sifrei Musa, Sifrei Chassidus tell us, brings us to Yira. One of the questions they ask us in Olam HaEmes is, Yagata B'Yira, did you toil in fear? Ahava, love, it says, we have B'Yerusha from Avraham Avinu. Ahava, we have B'Yerusha. We have the Ahava HaMisuseres, as it says in the Sfarim. There's the hidden love that exists in each and every single one of us. But Yira, we have to work on. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Ma'imach Ki'im LiYira Es Hashem Elokecha. Iyar, the word Iyar, if you're on screen, Iyar is the word Yorei. Iyar means to be afraid. Right? Hashem is Yireyav. Yireyav is Iyar with a Vav. Yireyav is Yud Resh Aleph, Yud, and a Vav. That's Iyar, Aleph, Yud, Yud Resh, with the letter Vav. The letter Vav is the letter that Iyar was created with. Which is perhaps one of the reasons that the Torah talks so much in these parashiyos, especially in Kedoshim, the Areisa Me'alekecha, that there are certain Averis that one might feel that, who really knows? The Fne'iva Lo'isita and Nichshol, the Pasuk says. You think anyone knows that I'm really doing it? Especially, that doesn't mean literally necessarily, it means if I give someone advice, but I really mean it to my own benefit, and a person might say, who knows? L'toivonis kavanti, I meant it to beneficial for the person that I gave the advice to. L'fikach nema b'v'yareisa me'alekecha, the pasuk says, ha'makir machshavayisecha. You have to recognize that you have to fear Hashem, who knows all the machshavas. He's the idea machshavas. We have this later on again. Throughout the parasha, the Torah mentions, v'yareisa me'alekecha ani Hashem. Why so much during this time? Because this is the time, the month of Iyar, right, so Hashem is Yireyav, that we have to work on Yira, which brings us to the levels of Kedusha, v'atim tihil amlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, which these two parashiyos, Acher Kedoshim, talk to us about those mitzvahs that in order to keep them, the arayis, and those mitzvahs that we have in these parashiyos, we need to work on our yira. Without yira, it's not possible for a person to attain these levels of Kedusha. What's interesting is just as we find that we jump from Mitzayra to Acherei, we see that a person can be on the lowest level possible, but yet, through his own Avodah, can turn himself totally around and go from being a Mitzayra to the level of a Kohen Gadol. The same thing the other way around. The same parasha Acherei, which talks about the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, at the end of the parasha we have the Arayis, which many ask, why on Yom Kippur, this parasha brought on Yom Kippur, it's like as if it's Yom Kippur the Shabbos, why on Yom Kippur do we read the parasha of Arayis in the afternoon? Who's thinking about Arayis on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur. In the morning, we read the first part of Acherei Mos Tov Revi. We're learning about the Kohen Gadol entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It makes sense. Just because it's the same parasha, so we have nothing better to lay in Mincha time, so you picked Arayis at the end of the parasha's Acherei, and there are different answers given by the Mefarshim, Poskim. And some say it's to tell us, yeah, that even a person who has reached the highest levels possible, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Al Tamin Ba'atzmacha Ad Yoy Moischa, a person cannot trust himself. A person can never say, I'm perfect now, I've reached the highest levels possible, I will never ever sin. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he was a Kohen Gadol taka. Shimesh pekahuna gadoila, ulebesoif nasa tzedukia. Those who are learning the Daf Yomi, learn about Acher, the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, Elisha ben Avuya. He was mentioned in Mishnayis, which means he was a Tana. If he's Rabbi Meir's Rebbe, you can imagine what he must have been. Rabbi Meir was so great that the Gemara says that the Chacham never understood Rabbi Meir. That's why the halacha is not like Rabbi Meir. And it says that there were those who became great because they saw Rabbi Meir from the back. So Alachas Kama Vekama, had they seen him from the front. And he's Rabbi Meir's Rebbe. So you're talking about the one Rabbi Meir learned from. Elisha ben Avuya mentioned the Mishnah's Pirkei Avos. We don't take that Mishnah out because he became Acher. The Mishnah is still there. It's interesting. Even though he became, as the Gemara says, he became sort of like a non-believer. He's Machal Shabbos. Other Averis that the Gemara tells of Sifrei Minus, they found in his pockets. It's a difficult concept to understand. But here we see that the person can be on the highest levels possible and fall and stoop to the lowest. Reish Lakish, before he became Reish Lakish, we know what he was. Besides that he was a thief. I mean, you don't want to mention the things that the Gemara tells us, but Reish Lakish became the great Tana, the great Amor, the great Tana Reish Lakish, that we can't even fathom his greatness. It doesn't matter where a person is. A person can be on the lowest level and reach the highest levels. A person can be on the highest level and stoop to the lowest levels. These parashiyos we read now during the days of Sfira, which teach us how much a person has to constantly work on himself and never be satisfied and never rely on the fact, well, I've reached the highest level. So Klal Yisrael reached the highest levels, Pesach, and right after that they fell and they had to count 49 days of Sfira. After Matan Torah, we reached the highest levels possible, and then came Chet HaEgel. If a person stops even for a minute, you fall. It's like you climb a mountain. When you climb a mountain, they say you never stop. You stop, you look back, you start sliding, and you fall down. You got to always look ahead, go up. Remember, your goal is to reach the top of the mountain, and don't stop for a minute. Now, you can stop for a break, obviously, but it means when you're climbing the mountain, you know, if you're just going to stop, you're going to end up going down. You're not going to go up anymore. And the same thing in Avodas Hashem. In Avodas Hashem, there could never be any stop. Because if there's a stop, there's no medium ground. It's either up or down. And the down could be a tremendous down, just as the up could be a tremendous up. Even though acharei mois, even though there was a misa, even though we fell, kedushim, we could still strive to the highest levels of kedusha, which is where we're supposed to be on the day of Shavuos. As we mentioned last week, that the mitzayra becomes a mitzayra because of the color white, the hair turns to white, which is the klipa of lavan, the klipa that we're in now, as the Gemara says, before Mashiach comes, na'orim peneis kenim yalbinu. That the children are going to have white hair, sort of. It's a metaphor. It means that the young ones are going to take over. There's going to be no respect for the old. The young take over, and it's a generation where we don't know what's right, who's true, who's not. A generation of fakers and frauds, as the Gemara tells us in Saita and in Sanhedrin. It looks love, and there are people who look like they're pure and holy, and really they're not. And that's the most difficult tumah to be worried about. Rishoyim is not so terrible. We know to stay away from Rishoyim. We know they're Rishoyim. But the fakers, the ones that on the outside seem to be Lovan, and they're not, that's the klipa, that's the tumor that we have to worry about, which is right before Mashiach comes. The Mitzayra, therefore, is Tomei because his hair turns white, even though normally the color white is associated with Kedusha. In our parasha, we learn about the Kohen Gadol who enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim wearing the white garments. In our parasha, the color Lavan is associated with entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. The klipa of Lavan, which Yitzhak Hashem, perhaps next week we'll go into it, is totally wiped away on Shavuos, but before that on Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is the day that we already get a taste of the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos, and even more than that, because Lag BaOmer is the day that Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai revealed the secrets of the Torah. The secrets of the Torah that will be revealed when Mashiach will come. Lavan is Lamed Beis Nesivos. Lavan stands for Lamed Beis with the Nun. Lamed Beis, there are 32 pathways of wisdom, and Nun is the 50th level of Kedusha. But even though there are 32 pathways of wisdom and 50 levels of Kedusha, on the other side there's also those numbers. There's 32 in the Koiches HaTumah, and there's 50 in the Nun Shaarei Tumah. The Rambam writes at the beginning of his Hakdamah to Taharos that there are Lamed Beis Avos HaTumah. There are 32, the Mishnah says that there are four, the Rambam splits it up, that there are 32 Avos of Tumah. So the number 32 exists in the Tumah as well. But the number 33 does not. And Tumah is no 33. 33 is a number that is associated only with Kedusha. David rules in Yerushalayim for 33 years. Yaakov loses those 33 years that he should have lived to be 180. And Lag Ba'omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, is Nifter on the 33rd day of the Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, the Neshama of Mashiach, who reveals the secrets of the Torah that are going to be revealed when Mashiach will come, who's going to introduce to the world a much higher level that Lavan cannot reach. And Amir Hashem, next week, we'll go into where the Torah talks to us about how Lavan reaches his Ma'apala on Lag BaOmer. which is the fifth day of the fifth week. Now we're getting ready for this Shabbos, the fourth day of the fourth week, the Netzach, the week of Netzach, the week of Yerushalayim. It will be Zoichetaka to build our own private Yerushalayim, our own Mikdash, which will bring us to the Mikdash HaKloli, which is the city of Yerushalayim, Boina Yerushalayim Hashem, Nitcha Yisrael Yechanez, Shabbat Yerushalayim as Hashem, and from there to the Beis HaMikdash, and to the Geulah Shalema, that this year, Yitzh Hashem, we should be able to bring the Shtei HaLechem, or the Pesach Sheni, which is first in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, may it be immediately.